Good morning. For the sake of this recorded Sunday morning worship service on the Bosquedale Baptist Church website, you're now on. I'm taking into account that this is morning and it is Sunday, and for this time we are gathered together in mind and spirit and in the fellowship of a church service. I'm glad you're here and appreciate your acknowledgement that I am here, Stephen Combs, pastor of this great, small, but large in the scope of our mission and ministries, church. Greetings to our members and guests, if you are one. For this online service, we engage for this time of worship in the fellowship of our greeting one another. We engage in prayer together. We set aside our tithes and offerings to the Lord. And by the way, these can be sent to the church address or bring them in when we resume worship in the church building on November 1st. We read a portion of the scripture for this Sunday and then explore through the pastor's message how this week's scripture impacts each of our lives. In the past, for these website worship services, we have also included hymns, but because of some small but extra problems, we will not have music for these two online services this Sunday and next, and I'm sorry for that. I mentioned coming back to the church building on Sunday, November 1st, because this week, this Sunday now, and next week, October 25th, we will have our worship here on this website because of a coronavirus timeout for these two Sundays, and then back to the church building on Sunday, November 1st. I hope you can be there. Let's turn now for a time of prayer together. As I normally do, I will begin with a prayer of invocation, that is, invoking the Lord's presence with us for worship. Pray with me. Gracious and loving Father, we rejoice in the privilege of recognizing you as our Father, as Jesus did in his model prayer for us, when he said, "Our Father, which art in heaven." With great thanksgiving, we come to you with open hearts and eager souls to have you fill our thoughts and our desires to be centered now only upon you. Lead us and guide us in this, our special time of worship. In Jesus' name, together we say, Amen. Continuing in prayer now, this is our time now to appeal for the needs of our families and friends in person, and for other needs that we do not know with specifics, but are nonetheless real concerns for our prayer support. For these personally, and by the way, I'm including last names with this because some of you joining us today are not directly related to our church. And so as I read these, we will be in reverence of prayer. So now we pray. We pray for the continuing good recovery for Effie Brimmer, for Ellen Thomas, for Charlie Hearn, for Nancy Flagger, for Josh Combs, for Sheridan Coleman, for Joy Sanders, for Shirley Morrison, and for Harold Lee Cox. We pray for these for other reasons, such as pending surgery or loss of loved one or confined to home or confined to assisted living. For these we pray for Sue Cox, for Marianne Stotler, for Richard Dixon, for Leela Marvin, for Mary Raso, for Jane Hearn Evans, for Loretta Cox, and for their families. And for persons not related directly to our church, we pray, but for whom we have been praying and continue in our prayers. For Bill Crane, for Leon McDaniel and Eddie McDaniel, for Terry Goldson's brother Joe, for our friend and my co-worker Lane Prather, for Travis and Taylor Rollins and their brand new baby, for Kristen and Jared Bathen and their frustrating extended adoption experience. We also pray fervently for peace in our own community and for that peace for our state and nation, for all people, such as medical and law enforcement and other essential workers who continue their work while others of us cannot, for our church leaders as helpers and examples of service and ministry, and for missionaries and military around the world today. For all of that and all of these, hear our prayer, O Lord, as we pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. And all the people said, Amen. At this time in our worship, we usually have the pleasure and privilege of special hymns, but not for now. Hymn singing will resume when we return to the church building November 1st. We come now to a time of reading and hearing the Word of God in our scriptures, and that for this week is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This Bible reading is from the New King James Version, a fine translation of the Word. If you have your Bible with you, no matter what translation you may have, turn now to Luke 5, and I will begin reading after you have had time to turn. It will be verses 1 through 11. The title of this week's message, to go with this scripture, is Launch Out into the Deep, and is our month-long biblical glimpses of the great disciple Simon Peter. So this is our scripture for Luke, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 11. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him, and they wanted to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them, and were washing their nets. Then he got into the one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. And may the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it this day. You know, every fisherman has a fish story. And yes, we have fishermen in our church here, and yes, they do have stories. But this short biblical story is one of the most unusual fish stories ever told. It begins with the fish that did not get away. Yes, I said, did not. And it ends with a group of fishermen, the fishermen getting caught. Jesus was preaching near the lake called the Sea of Galilee. In the scripture, it's called Gennesaret. The crowd was pushing in on him, and he was stepping little by little backward toward the water's edge. As he got to the water's edge, Jesus saw Peter's boat and another boat close by. He stepped into Peter's and asked Peter, and probably Peter's brother Andrew, to push out a little way from the shore. Jesus intended to, and did, use the boat for a pulpit to continue his preaching. When Jesus had finished his sermon, he surprised his friends in the boat with him by saying, "Let's go fishing. Put out to the deep water and let down your nets." And that's the first part of the unusual story. You see, this was undoubtedly fairly early in the day. Unusual for Peter and all the others because their standard fishing time was overnight. They had just finished for that session of fishing and were worn out. And then the second unusual part. Jesus, whom they were just getting to know as a special teacher, says to them, "Let's fish. And let's go where?" He said, "Put out into the deep water." You see, that was all unusual for these fishermen of the two boats because how it happened and with whom it was happening. Happened when they all thought they were just about finished, just washing their nets to put them away. And here's a large shift of plan as to what they knew as professional fishermen. A religious teacher was telling them to change their plan. Now, I'll explain. Well, first, there was what they thought they needed. They thought they needed rest and recuperation and then later to deal with the anguish of their lack of any gain, any fish, nothing for a long night's work. And I would call that exhausted resources. The occupants of both boats, all of whom might become disciples of Jesus but didn't know it yet, had toiled all night. These expert fishermen had done all they could do, but their training and experience were not enough for this time. They were trying to do the job they had done many times, but now they had only a day of failure. And they had to show for their night's toil. All it was tired bodies and empty nets. Well, they were soon to learn. Without Christ, they were wasting time. You see, for us, how many times do we work and toil only to feel we're getting nowhere, that all has been in vain? We try with all our might to be good neighbors, good fathers, good mothers, good Christians, only to end up at some time of realizing frustration with tired bodies and empty nets. This is always the outcome when we operate without Jesus Christ and without the power he promised of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Peter, as well as all the other disciples, was about to have a new lifestyle, to learn that life without Jesus is always fragmentary. You see, there's only one way to do the work of the Lord, Jesus' way. There's only one power that can enable us to live the Christian life and to bear our responsibilities, the power of Christ in us. 3 years later, Peter was still learning this lesson in Gethsemane when he tried to defend Jesus from Judas and the arresting soldiers instead of relying on Jesus right there with him. To give him a little credit, or maybe sympathy is a better word, because we see ourselves doing this, he was endeavoring to keep his promise never to forsake Jesus. But surely it was just love for Jesus that motivated Peter to swing his sword, ready to single-handedly do battle with a small army. But what he did was wrong, because it was not Jesus' way. It didn't take Peter a long time to learn what Jesus was trying to teach him in that fishing boat that morning out on the Sea of Galilee. Sometime later, we learn that Peter did pay attention, did learn. Over in the third chapter of Acts, we hear Peter telling a beggar, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Peter said, in essence, "I cannot give you what you ask, but I can do better. I'll give you what you need. I'll share with you the greatest discovery of my life, In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. Peter finally found out he did not have all the answers. He made the great discovery that life is more than the resources we too often turn to. Physical prowess, human wisdom, and financial security. And all of those have limits for us to tap into. He discovered that life comes to those who believe heart and soul in Jesus as God's Son Christ and give themselves unreservedly to God to take care of their needs. This is what he meant when he said to the crippled man, "What I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ." This is the discovery every Christian needs to make as soon as possible. With and through God, you have resources you never dreamed of. After you discover that, you will find that never again do you have exhausted resources. Now, out there in his own boat, Peter got a peculiar command. Launch out into the deep. You see, he knew from years of experience that on that lake, fish were caught near the shore, not in the deep. And also they were best caught at night, not in the daytime. Yet Jesus told Peter and whoever was with him to get out to the deep waters and let down their net. Here, the carpenter, the religious teacher, a landlubber, was telling these experienced fishermen how and where to catch fish. The soon-to-be disciples had reason to doubt. Peter said what appeared to be something like, "Master, we are old hands at this business, and we have been here all night when and where the fish are supposed to be caught, and we have caught nothing." He might have implied it, but caught himself before he said it. Something like, "Are you going to try to tell us how to fish?" So, instead, much to his credit, in spite of what he might have felt, Peter regarded Jesus as one who was apparently more than anyone else, one who knew. And instead, he decided then and there, Jesus was the captain of his boat. And instead of questioning Jesus further, he said, "Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." Now, that's what we're just going to have to call reluctant obedience. Let down your nets. For all I know, not one of us here in worship today is a professional fisherman. But wait, the truth is, we all have nets that need to be let down at the Lord's command. As a fisherman, the nets were a part of Peter. They were what he had in his hand, and he decided to do with them what Jesus commanded him. What are our nets? What is in our hands? Our nets are found in our talents, abilities, personalities, intelligence, experience, training, other personal qualities. Our nets are whatever we have in our hands, put there as individual to us by our Creator God who equips us. Ours is to do with our personal nets, then, as Jesus commands. We may be as experienced at living as Peter was at fishing. We may know an abundant amount of the ins and outs, you know, financially, intellectually, socially. But if we do not have Jesus, we will toil through all the nights of life and come up right at the end as Peter and the other fishermen had that morning with nothing but empty nets. At different times for all of us, but surely for all of us, there will be that final time our own personal nets will be let down into the sea of life for the last time. When that time comes, what will be our catch? What will have been our catch all along? If we will only trust Jesus enough to follow his command and go ahead on his call and let down our net into the sea of life, we will pull on board more treasures and blessings than our little boats can carry. We'll have to look around for someone else's boat to share the overflow, the same way Peter called out for others to come and help with the catch that was out there. You know, the psalmist David had launched out into the deep of faith. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. My cup runs over." It seems he, even the great King David, had to find someone else's not full cup to help him catch the overflow. Well, that all led to Peter's humble prayer. "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Peter had doubted Jesus, and now he called him Lord. This anguished confession was in order. He sensed his sinfulness in the presence of Jesus, whom he, in a new way, recognized as Lord. The nearer to the Lord we walk, the more keen we will be in awareness of all our sin, of the differences between us and Jesus. Walking near to thoughts, actions, and attitudes that have never occurred to us as being wrong will rise up as ugly monsters in our lives. Peter's sin, previous to this confession, was that of attitude. Peter, in a short time of hesitancy, felt that he knew better than the good teacher Jesus. And now, having his skeptical eyes opened, he was asking that Jesus the Lord might depart from him. And, well, just for a second here, imagine this scene. This is a time of breathtaking excitement, even for experienced fishermen. They have come upon a school of fish such as they had never seen before. Every man is whooping and hollering, shouting in excitement. The men strain to every one of their muscles, pulling in the nets. The fish are sliding and flopping into the boats by the dozens. The fishermen are sopping wet and knee-deep in fish. One shouts, "Look out, the nets are splitting. Don't let that big one get away." Another one cries out, the boat is about to sink. We're taking on water." In all of this excitement going on around him, Peter, bless you, Peter, decides to pray. He falls to his knees among the squirming fish and pours his heart out to Jesus, his Lord. Quite a scene for a prayer of confession. It is wonderful to have worshipful experiences and environments and a tradition-rich building dedicated to prayer like we have here at Bosquedale. But if someone really wants to find God, he or she can pray anywhere. He or she can confess sin no matter what the environment, even if they're fish around in ease. Even every Christian ought to be faithful in church, as we hope for when the virus lets us get back to normal. But we thank our God we can draw near to his throne of grace wherever we are. Over on Springer Ridge Road, over in Banks Lane, over on Bosquedale Road, over in Cambria or Hearst or a suburb of Carbondale. We can do it anywhere. But notice this also. Again, Peter thought he knew just how things ought to be. He thought that since he was such a sinner, Jesus ought to just go off and leave unworthy him. Though Peter understood something of his sin, he did not yet understand Jesus. As long as Peter was confessing his sin, Jesus was lovingly bound to stay, though Peter's sin was a scarlet. That Peter was a sinner was all the more reason Jesus needed to be there. The only way one can become what he ought to be is as he or she is in the presence of Christ. Peter's attitude was wrong when he doubted Jesus could find any fish. His request was wrong as he prayed. but his attitude was right. It's far better to pray wrong and have the right attitude than to have the wrong attitude and pray what just seems to be right. Lord, I am a sinner and I don't deserve to be here in the same boat with you. I've played the fool. I'm nothing but a sinner. This is the attitude in which the Lord wants us to enter prayer. As a matter of fact, this is the only attitude that can secure God's forgiveness. And thanks be to God, Jesus understood the sinner Peter. Yes, right there and then, Peter was a sinner. But Jesus didn't leave Peter all alone with his sins. Jesus stayed right there with his friend. When we feel as if we should not be in the presence of Jesus because of our sin, we can be certain that, like Peter at this point, we would be wrong to not be in the presence of Jesus. This same Christ will not leave us alone, hopeless, in sin. If we, like Peter, sense that we are sinners and will so confess to God, Christ always stays around to clean up the mud of our dirty lives and pick up the broken pieces and put them back together again. Christ calls me, calls you today, even now, to launch out into the deep of God's help and mercy, grace and love. Do you respond like Peter? But Lord, all night long I've tried and I've really not gotten anywhere. Mostly, Lord, I've just made a mess. My nets are empty. I'm just afraid to try anymore. No. Even though you may feel that way at times, move quickly to Peter's nevertheless. Nevertheless, Lord Jesus, I know you, and know you are the captain and master of my life. I will do as you say. I will try again. Like Peter, do as he did. Bend before God and confess that you're a sinner. And then open your heart and soul and listen. Hear Jesus say, "Do not be afraid. From now on, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. As I have blessed you, you will become a blessing to others." And they then, if you will please, ever so strongly say, "Thank you, Jesus." As most of you know who are listening to this, at the close of our Sunday morning worship at Boscadale Church, we all joined together in a benediction for the service. We call ours a congregational benediction because everyone in the congregation is invited to speak aloud together what we print for convenience at the end of the worship order. It is two verses combined from the Psalms, Psalm 139, verse 23, Psalm 19, verse 14. So we say it together. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." And amen.